Hebrews chapter 10, beginning verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Listen to verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Listen to this particular line right here. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that's where we're going to stop reading right there. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This world's a discouraging place. And it's because of the one, I guess you could say, runs the show when it comes to man and his ways. He's out to destroy us. He's out to discourage us. He knows he's got just a few more days left, and then he'll be done. And that's, I know the world, and I'm just going to talk for a minute. The world don't think much of church. Did you know that? They sure don't. They don't think a whole lot about church. Maybe I may mention this over the weekend. I'm sure there's probably at least 1,000 cars or more passes up and down 25E and goes right by this church every day. And you could go out to the parking lot and count, and we have just a very small fraction of that in the parking lot. People don't even think that somewhere along life's way they might need the Lord. And they don't realize what they're missing. If they just knew what they were missing on Sunday morning, you wouldn't be able to find a place to park.
Amen.
Listen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I read about a fellow named Elijah. And I believe this is over in the book of 1 Kings, if I'm not mistaken. You've heard about him and you've heard what he did. And he told King Ahab, Ahab was the king of Israel. And he had married a woman that was of a different religion, Jezebel, and had brought in a strange god named Baal to Israel and set up places to worship to Baal. And God didn't like it. And he used Elijah and he prophesied and said, as I live, by the space of 3.5 years, and I can't quote it exactly, that's why I'm telling you where I think it is. Go read it. He said, it'll not rain. And Ahab and the children of Israel got desperate. Ahab went one way and sent Obadiah another way just to find enough water so that their herds and their animals and stuff could live. And you all know this story. You all know that Elijah told Ahab to bring the prophets of Baal to meet at Mount Carmel, and he gave them choice of the sacrifice, and they prayed, and they prayed, I believe it was, until the evening sacrifice. And there was no answer and there was no response. 450 prophets of Baal pouring their heart out. 450 prophets of Baal crying, begging to a God that would not answer them. And then Elijah said, bring the sacrifice. And he put the sacrifice on the, he got the wood in order. He got the altar fixed and repaired that was broken down. He put the sacrifice on the altar. He took 12 barrels of water and poured over the sacrifice and over the stones and over the wood. And it ran down into a trough that circled around the sacrifice. 450 had cried out. And Elijah got down on his knees and said, God, would you show them that you're still God? And when Elijah prayed after a full day of prayer to a false God that gave no answer, it took one man humbling his heart and the fire fell.
Amen.
And it didn't just consume the sacrifice. It burned the stones. It burned the wood. It burned everything that was there. The water even burned. You say, preacher, water can't burn. God caused it to.
Amen. Come on.
A mighty miracle. And Israel said, the Lord is God.
Amen.
And they took the prophets of Baal and they slew them. And Jezebel became angry. And I'm hurrying right along through this to get to where I need to get.
Bless him, Lord.
And she sent word to Elijah that his life would be like these prophets by the time that the sun went down, if I'm not mistaken.
Bless
and we
him.
Read about Elijah next. And he's up in a cave by himself. And he prayed and he said, Lord, there's none left. I'm the only one left and they seek my life. He was feeling down. Have you ever been there? He was feeling burdened. He was troubled. His way became hard. He said, I'm the only one left and they seek my life.
Bless
but the Lord had a different idea, didn't he?
Amen.
The Lord gave him a word of exhortation, you might say. He said, get up. I've got 5,000 that's never bowed a knee to Baal. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we think we're all alone. Sometimes we think that we're the only one left. And I know the world will convince you. And I've seen churches that thought they were the only one left. You need to read the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Flip over to Revelation. And I know church attendance is down no matter where we go. If things are not like they used to be. Right here sat some folks that several years ago was right here at Dutch Bottoms. And you remember those days? You remember those days? Whenever it was 150 or 200 people right here in the pews at Dutch Bottoms. Time has made a change. And no matter which church you choose to attend, attendance is down all over this land and country. And the world will say, why don't you just give up and quit and shut the door? Read the book. Oh, John saw a number that no man could number. Now, I've seen scientists be able to tell you how many particles and how many atoms and things like that. This was a number so great that John couldn't even count it. Who was that number, preacher? It was the children of God. The people that was going that way when this life is over. So I want to exhort you and give you some courage and some strength to stand just one more day. We are not alone. We've got somebody that loves us. We've got somebody that cares. And his name is wonderful. His name is Counselor. His name is the Prince of Peace. He's the Rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. I'm telling you today, what a lovely name. Woo! The name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Exhorting one another. I can live just as good at home as I can at church. You are failing God.
Amen.
No, you can't live just. How are you going to help your brother or sister who's struggling if you're sitting on your couch and they're sitting on theirs? We have an obligation.
Bless the Lord.
I know they've done away with this in a lot of churches.
When you join a missionary Baptist church, you come under covenant.
That's right.
Listen, to maintain family and secret devotions. To religiously educate our children. Well, sir, we'll just have service and worship, and we won't fool with Sunday school. Let me tell you something. I love to follow the good spirit. It was a couple of Sundays ago. We never did get to Sunday school.
Amen.
The Lord came by and blessed for a few minutes. It was wonderful. But when the spirit's not right on the spot,
amen,
our children need to know what the Word of God says.
Amen.
They don't need to know what Mike thinks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You need to be a little louder on that.
Amen.
They don't need to know what Mama and Daddy think.
Amen.
Amen. They don't need to know what Grandpa and Grandpa believe. Amen.
Amen.
But they need to know what the Word of God says.
Amen. Bless it, Lord.
Let's go on down here. We further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. If you can't love them and do it, you need to leave it alone.
Amen.
To remember one another in prayer.
Amen.
You pray for me, and I'll pray for you, and God will hear and answer both prayers.
Amen.
To aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and Christian courtesy and speech, be nice to one another. What a novel concept. Speak kind to one another. What a wonderful thought. I'm here to tell you today, just 1 or 2 seconds of the deadly poison that comes across this tongue is enough to hurt people where they'll never walk through the door again.
Amen. Amen. Come on now.
That's true.
Bless you, Lord.
To be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. And if you want a copy, I've got some. Exhort one another. You have a duty and an obligation. Me and my sister don't always get along. Do you and your siblings? We have had words a time or two. You better not say anything about my sister to me, because she's my sister and I love her.
Amen.
My mother can be honor as I'll get out.
Help him, Lord.
But she loves me and I love her.
Yes.
And I can say that, but you can't.
Amen.
Because she's mine.
That's right.
Amen.
And I love her. You see, friends, we need to love one another.
Amen.
Right.
What's the Bible? Listen. Oh, we believe this. We believe that. This denomination believes this. This denomination believes that. Let's go with the overarching theme of the whole book. God is
love.
And that's what we need to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the
Lord. Lord, help me to be more. Or like you.
Yes.
Exhorting one another.
Yes.
Now I remember a day, a lot of you around my age are a little older. When I was growing up a boy, we went over here to Rankin across the hill. I lived just across the bridge all my life till I got married, then I moved up into White Pine. Growing up in East Tennessee, and there were things that people were ashamed of. They did not want the world to know. Even the beer joints, and that's what they are.
Yeah.
And that's what we called them. Yeah. And it used to be 3 or 4. Now there's just 1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Even they would have respect enough for God and His people to close their doors on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have to walk past that stuff in every grocery store that you walk into. They have they don't just have 1 aisle, they have 2 or 3 dedicated to alcohol. Oh, listen, People take that and they think it makes them feel good. It makes them forget their troubles for a little while. I've got something better. I've got good old time salvation. And it's worth it to live for the Lord and enjoy His good spirit and power.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Exhorting one another. Elijah, you're not the only one. Listen, it's Satan's job. You remember the story of Adam and Eve and when they partook of the forbidden fruit. And the Lord spoke to Adam. He said, by the sweat of your brow, you'll toil the earth from which it was taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. He told Eve that she'd have pain in birth. And he told Satan something too. And he told Adam something about Satan. He said, Satan will bruise your heel. You ever had a sore heel? It makes the next step you take a little hard, doesn't it?
Amen.
A little painful.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one a little harder.
Mm-hmm.
And a little painful. And sometimes it gets way hard to make your way through, don't it?
Amen.
That's not where he stopped. He said, he'll bruise your heel. But you'll bruise his head. Friend, whenever we pray and we're in the center of God's will, Satan can't do anything but run.
Amen. Amen.
Let not your heart be troubled. Is that not what John 14:1 says?
Amen.
Oh, listen. Elijah had just seen a miracle. And then he went up on top of the mountain. Beyond that. And he prayed seven times, and a land that hadn't seen rain for 3.5 years, it became an abundance of rain.
That's right.
And then we find him in the cave, all down and out. He needed to go back and read the 23rd Psalm, didn't he? Surely, I'm down today. I'm down today. Well, Mike, look at what happened to you in days gone by. Look at what God did for you. Look how many times He delivered you from your pain. Look how many times when you were low and didn't seem like you could go another step. We read the poem about the footprints in the sand where the man saw just one set of footprints. And he said, Lord, you promised me you'd be with me. You know whose footprints that was? That wasn't that man. That was God. He was carrying him. How many times has God carried you back? Oh, surely goodness look behind you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Has He been good to you?
Amen. Amen.
Has He been merciful to you?
Amen.
When I was foolish and turned my back on Him and disobeyed Him and didn't do what He told me to, He was still merciful to a wretch like me. Look behind you.
Amen.
If the day's bad, look what He did for you yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before and all your days until this moment. He's had goodness and mercy.
Amen.
In your pain. And if He did it yesterday, look, it'll be there today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you.
Exhorting one another.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Rick. Rick asked me, how you doing? I said, you want the long version or the short version? So let me tell you, I'm blessed.
Amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
Amen.
I've been redeemed.
Amen.
I'm on my way to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm a child of the King.
Yeah.
You want to know how I'm doing? I'm doing pretty good.
Amen. That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's good.
Yes. Sometimes you got to be careful, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh. I read about Peter. Well, it was Paul. Paul was on a ship. It's in Acts chapter 27. And the Lord warned him. And he warned the sailors and everybody that was with him and the captain of the ship that they shouldn't set sail. That they should winter right where they were at.
Yep.
I've had the privilege of being on one of them big boats. It wasn't even storming, but the waves were high. In a boat that you can't even tell most of the time you're in the water on, even it would rock and sway. I can't imagine what it would be like to be on one in the middle of a big storm. That's where Paul found himself. If you read it, it talks about how that they were 14 days and they never saw the sunshine. There have been times like that in your life.
Yeah.
Been a long time since you've seen the sunshine. Since you felt its warmth on your face, on your body, and you noticed how pretty and wonderful everything was. And now you might think I'm talking about a good summer day, about the S-U-N. No, honey. There have been days and days that I've gone and not seen the S-O-N shine on this old boy. Been days and days when I've not felt his spirit or his presence. And it got dark. And everybody was discouraged. They had thrown everything off the ship, even thrown the tackling off the ship. And the Bible says all hope that they should be saved was gone. A bad time. Looked like we just got a few more minutes. A few more hours. It's not going to be long. We're going to go down. That's it as far as we're concerned. And Satan would have every one of us believe that. Did you know it? But then this old prisoner named Paul said, be of good cheer.
Yes.
For an angel, this God who I serve has sent an angel. An angel has stood by me this night. And he's told me I must stand before Caesar. And he's already promised me everybody that's on the ship with me. And you know what happened? The storm came. The waves rolled. And whenever all was said and done, every man on the ship found themselves saved. How did that happen? Because Paul prayed and God answered. We have a God that answers prayers.
Amen. Amen.
Bless him, Jesus.
Amen. Exhorting one another. Are you going to be blessed by me telling you how awful life is? Well, I know. But if I tell you about the prayer he's answered for me, and the miracles he's done for me, and the mercy he's had on my life, I believe you'd be blessed. I believe you'd be encouraged a little bit. I believe you'll have the strength, may give you a little strength to go on just a little longer for the Lord one more day. And let me just say this. Dad used to sing a song, I don't regret a mile. I've traveled for the Lord. You see, it's good to be God's child. You know what Jesus told us? He said, fear not, little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure. Now, before I finish the verse, we think about having a good meal. We think about owning a nice car. We think about having a fine home. That's not what he wants to give us. It's not a lot of money in the bank that he wants to give you. It's the Father's good pleasure. When I was lost and undone without God, and he said, he reached out his hand for me. What's he want to give you? It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
All right, let me. I don't want to keep you too long. Exhorting one another. Sang this song just the other day. It's based on this verse. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. There's not a Christian that's ever spent any time along this way that somewhere or another you've not shed a tear. And you may have laid your head on that pillow and them just roll off the side of your face. And teardrops touch that pillow till it gets so wet. You have to, you ever had to flip it over?
Yeah.
And it's a dark, dark day. And sometimes you question, don't you? You may cry yourself all night, but joy cometh in the morning. This is what this man Paul, the shipwreck, all the men were saved. You know what he said? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Amen.
Natalie Marshall, when they were over here for homecoming, she used to sing this song, look what I've traded for a beggar.
Yeah.
Old Lazarus was a beggar, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He begged for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Somebody took him. He couldn't even get there on his own. Somebody took him and carried him. We think we've got it bad. How would you like to be Lazarus? He couldn't provide for himself. He couldn't do anything for himself. Somebody took him and laid him daily at the rich man's gate to beg for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Oh, what a life to have. What a life to endure. And I know days were hard for Lazarus. But look what he traded for a mansion. I'm here to tell you today, weeping may endure for a moment, but joy cometh in the morning. One day we'll look up and Jesus will be out on the cloud, and he'll say, he'll call our name. He'll say, you've been faithful over a few things. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
This is not all there is. We don't die like a dog and that's it. We got a better hope when this life is over. And there's no other people I would rather go live with for eternity than the church of the living God, the family of God. You may drive a beater, 14 different shades and primer all over it. You may eat soup, beans, and cornbread every day. Your house might be one of them. If the wind's blowing just right, you can feel it come through the slats. That's just your house. That's not your home. The world may look down on you and say, oh, what a poor fella. But I'm rich.
Amen.
I've got a better home waiting on me one day.
Amen.
I've got a father that loves me. The Bible said, for with God all things are possible. So until I get there, if I'm in need, he told me he'd supply my every need. And all I've got to do is ask, and you shall receive. What more could we want? What more could we ask for? I'd say we've pretty much got it back.
Told you. Better not say anything about my sister. I was the oldest and she was the youngest. 5 years between us. And if you went to pick on her, I'd take care of her. I've got a big brother too. And he takes care of me.
Amen.
No matter what, how ignorant I am and how much trouble I get myself into, he's right there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
I'd like to give Satan the black eye. You better stay away from him. But let me tell you something else. Oh, it's just awful what Satan's done to me lately. Well, listen. You believe the King James Version Bible? In the New Testament, it says this. God is no respecter of persons. Now, did you read about the man Job? Why hadn't Satan already destroyed him? He had a hedge about him. Now, what kind of man was Job? Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. What kind of man was Job? He was a perfect and upright man,
right,
one that feared God and eschewed evil.
That's right.
We have to put the qualifiers on it. We can't live like the devil and then expect God to keep Satan off of us. We've got to pray. We've got to read our Bible. We've got to go to church. We got to live right. And if we do what God wants us to do, he'll have that hedge about me and you when Satan comes calling.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm afraid we got a lot of Christians that want it their way. This is not Burger King. I'm sorry. There's only one way.
That's it. That's right.
And it's God's way.
Amen.
Well, you just busted my bubble, preacher.
Bless him, Lord. Come on.
Now, let me tell you something about God's way. It shall be for that wayfaring man. Though a fool, he cannot err therein. See, even an old ignorant boy like me is able to get saved. I'm a nothing and a nobody. And I never will be anything but a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
That's all I am.
Amen.
There's nothing for me to boast about.
Right.
Not one thing for me to boast about.
Bless you, Lord.
Help him, Lord.
Only thing I can boast about is when I was an 8-year-old boy, lost and undone, afraid of dying and going to hell. The one smart thing I've ever done in my life, I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, please save me. I was so dumb, I didn't know how to pray. And I've still not figured it out. Well, preacher, can't you quote us a pretty prayer? I could, but God wouldn't be in it. The Bible says we don't even know what we ought to pray except the Spirit give us utterance.
Amen.
But I have read this, Philip. He said it'd be nigh to them that were of a broken heart. So I have learned when I'm broken, I can get through to the throne and call on him. And he'll hear me and wrap their big arms around me. You're not alone, friend. You've got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. So lift up your head. You know what David said? He said, I'll look into the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord.
Hey.
You know what David also said? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Friend, it's not as bleak as Satan has told you. It's not as dark. And I know I stood right here Sunday morning and quoted that scripture, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. You know what we've got that Noah didn't have? You see, Peter was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, who do ye say that I am? And Peter said, some say thou art Elias, some say thou art John the Baptist. But he looked right at Peter, and see, he said, but whom say ye?
Amen.
Who do you say that I am? This was Peter's response. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not... I'm glad the Lord's helping me a little bit, Marty. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And it goes on, don't it? He said, thou art Peter. And the Bible don't say this, but I believe Jesus did this. And upon this rock, this is what we had. This is what we've got that Noah didn't have. See, Noah's family got on. That's a representation of the church. But he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. They're not going to burn it down. They're not going to padlock the doors.
No, they're not.
I know a lot of times people want to get into politics. We had the COVID thing. The state said we couldn't meet with more than 10, but you could go by the hundreds to Walmart and Food City. And we tried to do the best we could to comply. And then we went out in the parking lot. And I remember a service. The Lord was with us every time we met out there. But I remember a service where I took Bobby Parker's microphone, just like this one. And the Lord blessed me to say a little bit. We were in our cars, and Juanita, I remember coming to your car window, and you told how good God had been to you. And I went to several different ones, and the Lord blessed us to have service out there in the parking lot. Those people pulled over across the highway in Sam O'Dell's old store's parking lot and listened to the service. They can't stop the church.
Amen.
They can't shut it down. Upon this rock, who was the rock? The rock was Christ. Amen. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
We may be down, you might be out, but we're going to win. Because
Oh, Lord, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go away. He stood there. As they stood there gazing, he took them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted their hands and blessed them. And he rose in the air, and the angel said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus you see going away shall come again in like manner. I'm here to tell you to what. Now listen, he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. Oh, be excited, be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Oh, I go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It might be bad right now, but I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God.
Amen. Amen.
There's a light in the window. The table's spread in splendor. Someone's standing by. An open door. I can. Anyway, the chorus says, Lord, I've never been this home sick before. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. I can see. Can't you imagine we receive at the door? This old world's been a wilderness, and I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this home sick before. Aren't you glad you're going? If it looks bad today, tomorrow holds something better. We're going to glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Bless him.
Oh, friend.
Bless him, Lord.
What was that? I love the Lord.
I love the Lord.
I love my church.
I love my church.
I love everybody in my church.
I love everybody in my church.
You live over near Stokeless Chapel. I live up in White Pine.
Yeah.
But we're going to live together one day.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
We're going to be neighbors in glory.
Amen.
I tell you what, we'll just go right down at his feet. Amen. That's as far as I ever want to get. I got a better home.
Amen.
Let me close with this. Exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. We've lived where we've lived for 25 plus years. Our house was built in 1964. That's about almost 60 years old. And a couple of years ago, we noticed a little water in the basement. I called this company to come in and look at it. And when they got to looking at the work they were going to have to do, they looked down the wall. They noticed it did this number. It bowed out. I had never noticed it. But they did. So they came in there and they put steel beams up to keep it from coming any farther. You see, time has a way of destroying things. Time has a way of taking the best of things away. But in that heavenly home, time shall be no more.
Amen.
Sweetheart, you remember whenever you were a girl and you used to run.
That was just a blink of an eye ago, wasn't it?
Girls, you remember being young, running and playing. That's harder to do these days, isn't it?
Yes.
I want to exhort you. Hold on.
Yes.
Yes, thank
you. One day you'll get a glorified
Amen.
Body.
Amen.
And you can run right down to the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
and worship him and praise him. I get tired, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. As I get older, it seems like a day of work. All I want to do is just come home and sit down. But one day, I won't know what tired is. I'll have a body that I can. How about this? The Bible said he'd make us sit together in heavenly places. I'm glad I've got a church where he's welcome.
Amen.
I'm glad I've got a church where Jesus passes by. And I get to be in his presence. But you know what? Flesh gets in the way. And after a while, the spirit kind of moves out and we have to dismiss the service and we have to leave and hope and pray that he meets us back here the next time that we get together. But one day, we'll be in his presence for eternity. Aren't you glad we have a body to worship him and praise him forever and ever and ever?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I feel so sorry for our young folks. Most of them have never seen the real church. They've never seen the church in power with the spirit flowing. It'd probably scare them. But what a day that'll be. What a day when we get to go to glory when this life is over. Exhorting one another. I've seen men get angry and upset at one another, hold grudges for years. And you know what happens whenever you do that? You miss out on blessings. There are things God could do through you, but you won't let go so that he can. I believe when you exhort somebody, you love them. And I believe if this brother's having a problem and he's discouraged, I'm his brother.
Amen.
I ought to be there to help him.
Yeah.
Pray for him. And if there's something I can do for him physically, something I can do to be of help and a blessing to him,
That's
my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you. I teach school. I promise you, I'm going to hush this to you. I teach school. I'd say there's 75-80% of the kids that I work with don't know who their daddy is or where he's at. I have a problem with those men. I believe if you father a child, you need to be responsible for it.
Amen.
Your natural dad may walk off. But if you're born again, you've got one that'll never leave you, never forsake you. Ain't that enough to feel joy about?
Amen.
He said, for lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You see, this is coming to an end. But I'm going farther than that. I'm going on to glory to live with him for eternity. All right, exhorting one another. And so much the more. You believe Jesus is coming?
Amen. Amen.
You believe we're closer now than we were 50 years ago?
Yes.
Just any day now, I believe we'll see him. Oh, listen, folks. Didn't the writer say for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed?
That's right.
He's coming. He's coming. Yeah, it's just depressing. Look and see the state that our world is in. But take courage. Be bold. Know that the Lord is coming just any second. And if he don't split the eastern sky, he may come for me. I'll be okay. When my time comes, I told you I teach school. My bank account's never seen $1 million. And it never will. So I don't have that kind of money to leave for my children. I've got a little over an acre. And none of them's going to want it. They won't get much money out of that.
So I'll leave them the best thing I can leave them. I'll leave them a testimony so they know where I'm at when this life's over with. And I hope that I've lived enough and that I've tried to teach them enough and they've heard the preaching enough to know how they can get there too.
Amen.
Old friend. I mention Mike Potter every once in a while. He used to sing this song. I want to live there, don't you? And when the spirit would get real high, he'd change the lyrics. He'd say, I'm going to live there, ain't you? I know, for I know whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against that day. You know you're saved?
Amen.
Aren't you glad it's a no-so way?
Amen.
If I had to worry about it or I had to wonder about it, I'd be scared to death. But I lost my fear when I said, Jesus, save me. And he did.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about hell anymore.
Amen.
I know I'm saved. Ain't that wonderful? Listen, say something nice to somebody. No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. If the Lord puts somebody in your path today, in your path tomorrow, it wasn't an accident. You're there to be a blessing. To encourage, to exhort, to lift up. They used to have folks that was called exhorters. You know what I'm talking about? They could stand up and start testifying and did set the whole service on fire. Where are they? Where are they? They're just like me and you. They've let Satan keep their mouth shut and keep them in their seat. Friend, our days are numbered. Our breath is limited. What the Bible say? Let everything that hath breath
praise
the Lord. And it goes farther than that. The next line says, praise ye the Lord. Has he done everything, every good thing in your life? Has he put it there?
Amen.
Then I think we ought to praise him, don't you?
Amen.
Exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. All right, that's the message.